Good morning, Colorado Springs. I'm Angela Jones, and it's another brighter day in the neighborhood. We're happy to have you with us here this week, and we're also extraordinarily happy to welcome back Shelley Brunswick.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and talk more about the great things that are taking place in space.
Well, and, you know, that's something we ended up, our format is generally that, you know, we're talking to, you know, helping professionals who people don't generally think of as helping professionals. I mean, you know, sort of highlighting, you know, their heart toward, you know, what they do, if that makes sense. But yeah, we didn't really get much of a chance to really delve into what it is you're doing and your passions around that. So I'm going to just kind of highlight that, you know, you are playing an active leadership role in the United Nations, Space Women, Women's Tech Network, Islamic World Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, and that's the CESCO, World Business Angels Investment Forum, the World BAF, WBAF rather, the Global Women's Leadership Committee, the GWLC, New York University Global Policy Insights, Global Policy Diplomacy and Sustainability Fellowship Program, and, you know, among others. And so the list just kind of goes on, and, you know, there's a lot of passion that goes into, like, your involvement in all of these types of things. So I definitely wanted, you know, us to get a chance to delve more into that, like why you're doing, you know, those types of things. And of course, we had to come back and, you know, have a little lemon loaf.
Well, I love the lemon loaf, so thank you so much for that. And we also talked about chocolate tea, which is Numi and fantastic as well. So yeah. So your tea connoisseurs are right here.
Right.
One of the things we talked about during our last episode was that I learned that growing up and being an only child, I'm really a joiner. I did theater, I did debate, I played tennis, I played track. I guess I did track. I don't know if you play track.
Red track.
And that tendency to be a joiner has continued as an adult. So you read off a lot of things, but ultimately they all have a similar theme. One is a lot of the roles I'm in is I believe in being a mentor and giving back. So I was so fortunate in my career, you know, military, space, not necessarily a lot of women. I mean, I remember people saying, do you know, what's it like being the only woman in the room? And you kind of go, I didn't really notice that until you pointed it out.
Right.
So I had a lot of mentors who helped develop me and coach me, and I would not be where I am today if it hadn't been for them. So I have a real drive to give back. Mm-hmm. And also, a lot of the organizations like ISESCO, the Islamic World Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, has 54 member countries all throughout the world. Mm. And the goal is, a lot of times, other countries are not part of the space ecosystem. So the real passion is, it's not only gender, men and women, it's also geography. How are we making sure all countries, all citizens, are going to benefit from space technology so nobody's left behind?
And cultures, too.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's very, you know, when we hear words like Islamic or what have you, we sometimes will attach to that this idea of religion, and it very much is, Islam is a religion, but there are a lot of cultural aspects that go along with that, cultural aspects that, you know, are inbred in or ingrained in a traditionally, you know, Judeo-Christian, you know, Buddhist, other types of, you know, underpinnings all over the world. And, you know, so that's very interesting that, you know, it's very integrated, I think, or holistic. And I'm excited to hear more about that.
Well, I will share with you that it is ISESCO, Islamic World Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, is just like UNESCO, the UN.
Yeah.
So it's about the science, and they're passionate about bringing more girls into the career fields. But we also partner with the Organization of American States, which is the 34 countries in the Americas. And they've also brought in Germany and Israel into that Organization of American States. And we're also partnering with the African Union, which is standing up the African Space Agency, which is 55 countries. And you and I talked about my favorite place to travel is Africa. So I'm really excited about Africa standing up an African Space Agency, as all the countries throughout Africa are embracing space.
So talk to me a little bit more about, like, what that means. I mean, we talked a little bit last week, just, like, very, you know, touched on, you know, this idea of that there's a Mars architect, you know, here in the United States. And, you know, the realities of that. What does that mean in the future, and how near is that future?
So the future is here, and how I mean that is, many times as we're thinking about the Artemis program, which is going back to the moon. So mm-hmm. Artemis is the twin brother of Apollo. So we had the Apollo mm-hmm. space program. Mm-hmm. Now we have the Artemis era, the twin sister of Apollo. So the goal is to send women to Mars, right. And to the moon and onto Mars.
Right.
But at Space Foundation, we're really passionate about how do we bring that technology back to Earth? How do we create entrepreneurs? How do we harness the technology? NASA has thousands of patents that are waiting to be commercialized. So we talked about Elon Musk last time and his passion for entrepreneurship, but we want to ignite entrepreneurship, reignite that in America as well as around the world.
Well, and I think that's the thing about, like for me, and because Elon Musk, I wouldn't say he's controversial, but he's out there a little bit, you know, just in terms of a character. He's a bit of a character. And like you said, he's involved in, you know, so many aspects and, you know, the popularity of Tesla and whatnot. I think it's really ignited people's imagination. I was not yet alive at the time, the Apollo program put a man on the moon, but I think it was, I don't know what that felt like. I don't know what the, you know, how that ignited the imagination or engaged, you know, us around the world together. I do know there was a collaboration there. But, you know, I'm kind of wondering, you know, how this era, you know, compares, you know, is it the same, or the differences, and, you know, what are those?
So it is different. So what you and I talked last time about how the workforce has changed in the space industry, where it was white male, STEM professional, you worked for the government, military, or civil agency.
Sure.
Now you're male, female, different career paths. And that's the thing we want to share with kids. It's about career paths. Mm. And then you can work for a startup company, or you can work for academia, or you can work for NASA. So there's lots of opportunities. So things have changed. When you think about Apollo back in that era 50 years ago, we're really looking at a space race between the U.S. and Russia. Who could get there first? Lots of resources. Mm-hmm. But what we have lost track of was all the great technology that came from the Apollo era. Formulated food, fire. My husband's a retired firefighter, so fire retardant clothing came from the space industry, the Apollo program. So all this great technology came from the Apollo era. So what people are realizing today, all these countries and companies, they're realizing by looking at going back to the moon and Mars, we're going to unlock all kinds of new technology that we're going to be able to use here on Earth. That's going to better our lives here on Earth. And so it's a new type of space race, but now it's a space race about technologies and innovation.
Right. Have you, and this is just a bit of a sidebar, it's just got me, it's not the same, but there was this movie, Don't Look Up. Have you heard of that?
I haven't.
You've got to see that movie. Meryl Streep plays the President of the United States. Okay. Not a particularly savory character in that, but it's a all-star cast, I think, including DiCaprio's in it. And I always forget the gal that played in the Hunger Games.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I always forget her name.
Jennifer?
Know. Yeah, it's Jennifer something.
But, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes. Anyway, she actually plays a scientist who discovers that there's an asteroid coming toward the Earth. And, and there's this whole, it's a very political, you know, Hollywood political commentary on the whole thing. But there's a character who, you know, is developing, you know, this ability to go into space and live in space, and, you know, kind of this cryo pod, you know, to going to new planets and different kind of things like that. And I think, you know, obviously the idea is, you know, picking up bits and pieces from real life characters, art imitates life type of idea. And it's really got me thinking. I watched it with my kids on Netflix, you know, over the holidays, and it just really got me thinking about, you know, if it's showing up in a Hollywood sort of satire film with these major players and all who are politically, you know, informed and fairly vocal, then it's got to be closer than, you know, maybe most people are thinking.
Well, we do know that the last extinction on the planet was from an asteroid that killed the dinosaurs. Mm. When will that happen again? That's a good question. You know, I mm-hmm. won't go into the planets and how,
yeah.
you know, all the asteroids are usually outside a certain belt. But what I will say is NASA does have a program called the Asteroid Redirect Program. Okay. So we are looking at, we as in
right.
the space community, what would that look like if an asteroid were coming near the planet? What could we do? And so there are some things taking place on how could we land on an asteroid? Can we do samples? Can we lift off?
Right.
And that will slowly allow us to test our ability to, could we redirect an asteroid if we were to discover one was coming towards the planet?
Well, in my thought was not even so much that, like the threat to, you know, the Earth or something of that nature. But that was part and parcel of it, is that they had developed some technology to land on the asteroid to begin to harvest, like to split it, to harvest, you know, a lot of the, you know, minerals and, you know, different kind of resources that we need to be able to fuel today's technologies, like the batteries that we're talking about and whatnot. And then, of course, this idea that, you know, human beings can go into space and then repopulate another place, you know, other than planet Earth. And so, you know, I don't know. I thought it was real interesting. And there's a lot of things that when I was a kid, you know, we used to watch the Jetsons or just, you know, ideas that we had of like, you know, that's not real. That can never happen. And there's a lot of things that happen now we could have never imagined. Like, I mean, even cell phones, even, you know, the connectivity that we have now and what goes into it, you know, cars that can drive themselves, maybe not the same way that Kit could drive himself in Knight Rider, you know,
probably better now.
That's probably is better, but I mean, we know that technology, you know, semi-trucks being able to drive themselves, you know, from one spot to another, or trains particularly being able, you know, to drive from one spot to another, and that commuter, technology is just there. And so let's talk a little bit more about this inclusivity and, like, especially what you're doing, because I think this is where I really see you light up, is when you're talking about, you know, space, yes, mm-hmm. but women's involvement in space, especially women from other countries who haven't had this, you know, access to this idea that you can be anything that you want to be, to include involved in space.
Absolutely. And the big thing we have to highlight is every country is at a different place. Like the U.S. space ecosystem, I mean, we're launching private citizens into space.
Right.
So you can just swipe your credit card, sort of, and go on a rocket ride, right? And come back to Earth, and now you're an astronaut. So we now have a capability up until last year that never existed.
Right.
New ways for individuals to be astronauts that didn't exist before.
Right.
But every country is different. So some countries might want to use space to help manage, like we talk about Africa. Mm. They can manage the wildlife population and
right.
see how they're tracking and protect them from poaching. Mm-hmm. We're looking at, you know, a lot of
satellite technology.
Satellite technology. Mm-hmm. You know, we can put the tracking collars on and we can understand mm-hmm. where the wildlife is. And then we can also track, mm-hmm. Are there poachers? And so there's a way to help protect wildlife, especially if you're looking at a Tanzania mm-hmm. or a country that is living off tourism for
right.
safaris. It's really important to protect your animals and your wildlife. But we're also looking at climate change.
Right.
And so space is a real big enabler of helping us monitor the planet. Where is the fresh water? Where might crops fail because of drought? Can we put food in place to prevent a pandemic or prevent famine? You know, so space technology can help us understand the situation and put mitigation measures in.
Mm-hmm.
But space technology also does things like filter water and grow food. When we use precision agriculture, we can grow more food, usually a 10% more yield.
Wow.
So a lot of times when you're thinking about women, they're in other countries, they're probably taking care of the family. They may be growing the garden or the family food. They're maybe growing food and creating products that could be sold internationally using Elon Musk mm-hmm. or another satellite internet-based internet. And that's allowing them to have money to now send their kids to school. So
right.
when we think about using space technology to improve the lives of women around the world, we're really improving the lives of families and creating upward mobility.
Well, you know, I think that's interesting. You're talking about, internet, satellite internet, because we definitely need that in Black Forest. You know, I'm just telling you, you know, the cable, the underground cable is just so it's antiquated, but it's also so new, relatively new. I mean, I'll tell you, you know, I mean, I remember when we got cable and I was not little when that happened, you know, those cable and then the internet, you know, or the, you know, just the multi, I don't know, what is it in the inside, fiber optics, different kind of fiber optics were inside. You know, there's a reason I went to law school. I am not a STEM person either. And in fact, I used to kind of think, you know, I'm not good at math, or, you know, I had never, even when I made the, or started to consider the idea of going to law school, it happened to be that I was in with an advisor. I was in a social work program. I was set to go into my practicum as a social worker. And, you know, I started talking about sort of my experience as a counselor. And my advisor at the time said, you know, my frustration was is I couldn't give advice. And my advisor said, well, have you ever thought about being a lawyer? Well, where I came from, like just came up, it had never, ever occurred to me that, you know, I could be a lawyer. I hadn't thought that through. And I think that, you know, is what interests me about some of the work that you're doing, mm-hmm. insofar as, you know, I remember you telling me a story about a lady you connected with, a mentor, who thought, you know, hey, I'd like to, sorry to get this idea, I'd like to go into space, but, you know, I have to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll let you tell that story.
So I have a couple really good stories. One is about a lawyer, so I'll share that one. Because space law is so exciting right now. Mm-hmm. And I did a webinar last March for a program called Women Tech Network, one of the groups you highlighted. And one of the women I had on there was a space lawyer. And on LinkedIn, wonderful platform, I had a young woman reach out to me and say, my mom walked in while we were watching your webinar, and she said, why are you crying? And I said, I can really be a space lawyer. And her seeing a role model of a space lawyer demonstrated that there's a way for you to be a space lawyer. So it's really about how do we create the role models. Had you not had a wonderful mentor, advisor, mm-hmm. counselor who said you could be a lawyer, who knows where you would have ended up? And so we really have to create those mentors and role models that look like us, talk like us, sound like us. And this woman was in Namibia. And I had another woman, she's from Pakistan, and her family was like, you can be a medical doctor. But she was like, I really want to be in space. And they were like, this is Pakistan. There is no space here. Right. But she was very passionate. She started the first Space Generation Advisory Council in Pakistan. She's been recognized by the UN Office of Outer Space Affairs for her work, and her parents have now embraced her passion to be in the space industry, and she's hoping to be a space doctor.
How did she get in that path, though? How did that connection happen?
So sometimes it's you're drawn to it, and you're able to, with the mm-hmm. internet, find, this is what I always also tell people, join organizations, find like-minded people that you share a passion. So she was able to join Space Generation Advisory Council, a group of young professionals, and she was able to network with people outside Pakistan that helped inspire her to continue to pursue her dreams. Now Pakistan has space programs in their universities. I work with several Pakistani professors and former generals who are now excited about space. So she was a pioneer at 15 years old for her country and an amazing leader. So the internet has helped democratize and allow role models, not just for U.S. citizens, but for citizens around the world to find their passion and find a role model. And LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram have given people a way to access us. I have people, and I'll tell my audience, I try to answer LinkedIn every week because I know that there's somebody out there that's looking for somebody. Can you give me 30 minutes or 20 minutes? I'm a deferred student from Harvard University, and I'm really excited about space. Would you talk to me? I always try to find time to talk because just like you, you never know if that 10 or 15 minutes might send somebody's career. And that 10 or 15 minutes you had started you on a journey of being a lawyer.
Well, and that's that ripple effect. It's the same thing where, like, you know, you came, you know, from a relatively small Florida town and you wanted to see the world and you ended up, you know, enlisted in the Air Force. And next thing you know, you're, you know, interacting with, you know, high-level officials all over the world dealing with space, you know, and which I think it's astounding, this idea, you know, for people to simultaneously think like, okay, there is no space in anywhere. I mean, because obviously space is everywhere. But at that same time, I absolutely understand that sentiment. How is that relevant to the here and now? How, what do we have to do that? We don't have, you know, satellites where we're dealing with, you know, what's right here in front of our faces and, you know, the real needs of real people. And to make that connection between, you know, space does provide real needs, and to see, you know, those passions being ignited, you know, to develop that even more. That's very fascinating.
I know before we started our talk last time, we talked about NFTs and all of that. And what I want to share with your audience is, blockchain and all of that is only enabled through space technology and cybersecurity. We talked about cell phones. Like, everybody you meet in Africa has a cell phone. There are two or three different types of of space technology in cell phones, depending which one you purchase. So I'm highlighting that formulated food, cordless power tools, mammogram, cataract surgery. All of this came from the space industry. The entire financial system of our world runs on space technology. Wow. So when people are thinking about, space isn't part of my daily life, it really is, even to the individual in Africa who may only have a cell phone, but how can we now connect them to the rest of the world using internet satellites?
So we only have just a few more minutes, and I mean, the time just flies when you're here. It's fantastic. I love it. But I want to give you a chance to talk about Space Foundation, and that's in what you're doing here locally.
Absolutely. So there's a couple things the Space Foundation does locally. The first one is we have our Discovery Center that's located right off Garden of the Gods, and it's open 5 days a week. And we're going to have a big party on 3 April called Yuri's Night, where we celebrate the first human being in space who was a Russian. And we also celebrate, that's also the same anniversary of the first shuttle launch. And so that will be open for adults. We'll have astronauts there, so we hope you'll go online and buy your tickets. But the Discovery Center is open all the time. We have star parties, homeschool, birthday parties. We're open to special events all the time. The other big event is our annual symposium. That this will be our 37th annual symposium, 4 to 7 April at Garden at the Broadmoor. And we're going to bring together the global space community again. We partner with 15 plus hotels, bring together 10,000 or more of our space industry family and friends, following COVID safety protocols.
Of course.
and of course, those are things that are great for the community because it's a great economic opportunity to see Colorado Springs as the space community uniter, and that's what the Space Foundation does. We are that organization that brings space to the world.
So, and you're located right here locally, and so you're involved, you specifically are also involved with a lot of local organizations as well, is that right?
Absolutely. I am on the Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors, so Colorado Springs is amazing, and I do want to share, you talked about Black Forest. Colorado Springs is rolling out a brand new fiber optic system, so within 5 years, every home in Colorado Springs will have great internet, great accessibility, because we want to be that community that can draw people to us to work from anywhere.
In all fairness, we do have CenturyLink out where I am, but the thing is like, you know, where the fiber optic stopped was about 200, you know, yards shy of our property. And so it's just, you know, we're in a rural area. But, you know, as we've become, I mean, I feel like we're a second city for sure at this juncture, but we're, you know, coming more and more, you know, center stage, in the United States. I think that's super important that, you know, that is highlighted, that the Springs itself is paying attention to bringing those things here for us. But there are those of us that still like to live out in the boonies. Only 10 minutes, of course, from, you know, In-N-Out. But
And I love In-N-Out. And so I share with our audience that Colorado Springs, the Chamber, is very progressive. We're really looking at diversity and inclusion. And we look at all the amazing investments in Colorado Springs with the downtown area and the Switchback Stadium, the new hockey rink, Olympic Museum, the Summit House. And now eventually we are going to expand our Discovery Center to triple the size of the footprint. So we are looking for supporters because we want to world-class facility to create the future workforce that Colorado Springs, the Front Range in Colorado, needs.
Well, I am super excited about all of this, and I look forward to joining you and, you know, seeing you at a lot more of the Space Foundation and Chamber and other types of events in the future. Thank you so much for just being so generous with your time and so enjoyable this morning.
Well, thank you for inviting me. And I love what I do. And what I share with your audience is, if you find something you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah, thanks. This has been another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. You can join us here each week at this same time on this same station. And until next time, have a brighter day.